So we have now entered the second month of the year 2020. And I just want to remind everyone, just our church focus for this year. I think starting last year, we had a desire and a theme to be a church that is intentional and purposeful about making disciples who make disciples. But for 2020, we want to really focus on this aspect of what it means to be witnessing for Jesus. But I'll be honest, I don't think our church is off to a really good start this year with our theme. See, for the past few weeks, I've been really frustrated and angry and sad and disappointed just by the general attitude and actions of a lot of church members. And before I continue, I just really want to make it clear that this is not a judgment or a condemnation. But what I really hope is that we all have a conviction and the realization to be more intentional and purposeful and what it actually means to bear witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, last weekend was Chinese New Year, and for our culture, this is a pretty big deal. It's a really important day for family and friends. And, you know, my own parents, they bought a ticket late at night. Not kidding, my dad just woke up in the middle of the night just to check online and found a really good deal, bought two tickets, woke up my mom and said, "We're going back home." And she got up and started emptying out the fridge and started packing. And in a few hours, they would board a plane to come back to the U.S. And so I frantically hurried up and cleaned the house to get ready for them. And my parents, whenever they come back, they really try hard to fight the jet lag so that they can come back to church as soon as possible. It's not a very good look when you show up at 10:30 service and you're drifting off to sleep because that's when you normally sleep. So they were excited to come back and visit their family. A few weeks ago, there's a fellowship group that decided to host an event and invited international students, Chinese exchange students from a few different high schools to come to our church to celebrate Chinese New Year. And the goal was to have these adults welcome and make them feel at home because it's not really a convenient time for them to go visit their own family in China, I assume. And I'm certain that so many of us were really looking forward to this holiday. Parents to be able to visit and be with their children. Children to be able to get that home ball, right? Get that red envelope from their parents. Maybe even some students looked forward to having a chance to feel welcome and to celebrate with some people in the same culture. But everything just went to pieces when news of this coronavirus in Wuhan, China started appearing. And as the outbreak was discovered and deaths were being reported more and more, and the entire region was on lockdown because of fear of the epidemic spreading, that is when the fear and widespread panic really went out of control. And suddenly the question on so many people's minds were not for the safety or concern of these Chinese people in another country, but the question was, what if I get sick? What if I get the virus? What if I get infected? And so people in our church, they started doing very selfish things. You see, they were so afraid of their own safety, their own health, their own lives, they started demanding the church staff and leaders to make drastic changes to all these events and even our service times. You know, that Chinese New Year, that they were supposed to welcome the students, they decided that they wanted to tell them to not come anymore in fear of being infected because they might have got the virus when they went back home during winter break. But when the staff decided that we're going to continue hosting the event to show love and to care for these students, you know what these adults did? The ones who organized and planned for this event? They decided that they're just going to not show up and cancel. Because if the students showed up, why put themselves at risk, right? I find that really frustrating. See, visitors, I heard when they came to our service, Chinese people coming to a Chinese church, instead of feeling warm and welcome, you know what people will start asking them? When and where did you come from exactly? Some of the more blunt ones would just straight up ask, did you come from Wuhan? A youth student visiting from Hong Kong showed up at our Sunday school. And instead of saying hi and greeting him and just being normal teenagers, you know, hey, what's up? Do you play league? What grade are you in? You know what these kids did? That student sneezed into his arm. And our entire class covered up their mouths and scooched their chair away. I am pretty ashamed of how we acted towards that student. That actually makes me really sad. And my own parents, you know, when they used to visit home in Florida, so many people would quickly try to reach out to them and say, hey, when are you coming to visit? When are you coming to stop by? You know, let's hang out. Let's get food. Let's get dinner. I know you don't have a car because Eric keeps using it and is almost never home, so let me go pick you up. You know, let me see how you're doing. It's been a while. You know, my own parents, when they came back, they started wondering, how come nobody knows we're here yet? And, I mean, I don't go around and tell everyone, hey, my parents are back, you know. But people ask. People ask me in the hallway upstairs and just, hey, when are your parents here? And I remember Saturday night, they showed up. Their flight was delayed. We got home around 2-something. 6 hours later, I got ready for church, right? And so I said, my parents literally showed up last night. But you know what kind of messages they got instead? Countless emails telling them that if you came from China recently, you cannot come to service. And WeChat messages, private and public, I assume, just telling them, hey, you should just stay home. You know, my own parents were basically, from Chinese New Year until now, they haven't really had any social interaction with anybody. My own parents outcasted from coming to a church I serve at. That makes me really angry. And people just kept texting and calling and emailing and talking to us staff, voicing their concerns and worries over and over again. We need to do this. We need to cancel this. We need to tell people this. And we just gave in out of safety and care and comfort for these people. But every time someone else would bring up something, and we had to consider, should we accommodate? Just because of a virus that hasn't really affected South Florida in the slightest. The one place where our own local community can worship God with people from the same culture. Instead, are basically banned because of our own selfishness. And that is what really makes this disappointing. So if we are to be a church that wants to be focused on witnessing for Jesus, I'll tell you now, we are failing at it. Because we haven't done anything out of the love of Christ. Everything we've done so far is out of our own selfishness and pride. Everything is about taking care of ourselves. So our sin is pride. And we're all, even me, we're all guilty of it. So I want us to really look at this passage in 1 Peter to hope that God will give us a conviction to repent and to be more purposeful in casting our own selfishness away, but to humble ourselves and to demonstrate the love of Christ to the people that need it most. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you. And you see, the first problem with ourselves is that we are too prideful. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. That's the message I've been hearing for the past few weeks. And yeah, you can disguise it as, yeah, we're trying to watch out for the safety of our congregation and trying to be aware and healthy, but I guarantee deep down, it's the root is because of our own selfishness. And I'm not trying to say, look at me, I'm better because I want to keep having service. I want to do these events for the Chinese students. I want to just welcome them. I'm not trying to get sick on purpose. But I think that the one day out of the week, for a few hours when you can just come and worship God, the one time you can be at peace and know your Lord, and we actively prevent that because we're caring about ourselves, man, that is such a prideful thing to do, is it not? And Scripture tells us first to what? Humble yourself. Humble yourself before God. Because the reality is we are nothing. We get sick, and that's it. We're done. We get in a car accident, and if something doesn't go right, we're dead. And we can work so hard and do all these things, but if someone comes in with a gun and shoots us, there's nothing that can stop us from meeting our fate and Maker. Truly, if you think about it, you're not that good. You can't be better than most people. No one is good compared to the power, authority, and majesty of God. Everyone falls short, and we are all sinners. So put down the pride and humble yourself. So then God can exalt you and bring you up. James reminds us, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. And I think that's so interesting because prideful people can't be exalted even though they exalt themselves. But God, Ancient of Days, if we humble ourselves before him, he is the one who exalts us. And that is such a fascinating thing to think about. Right? If we just keep being prideful and just exalt ourselves, God will look at us and shut us down. But if we can take time to know the presence of the Lord and to humble ourselves before him, he lifts us up. And how do we humble ourselves then? You see, pride is manifested because we are so caught up in our own anxieties and fears and worries and insecurities and doubts. And we just think no one can take care of us. We got to take care of ourselves. We got to figure it out for ourselves. We got to resolve this. We got to protect ourselves. We got to tell these people to get away because it's about my safety and my health. And you have those worries and you're caught up in your own anxiety. And you think, I can't afford to let someone care for me. I got to care about myself. Yet Scripture reminds us to cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for you. You see the problem? We're so prideful, we only care about ourselves. But we miss the fact that God cares about us and he wants us to cast those things on him. He wants to take that in. He wants to take that away from us to demonstrate his love for his people. And yet, as his people, we can't give it to him. Why? Because we're too prideful. So trust God. Yeah, it's a scary world out there, I'm sure. Yeah, there's a lot of concerns. I get it. But when will we ever practice faith in who God is if all we're doing is feeding into our fear and ignoring the care that God can give us? Philippians, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I know, it's not easy. Don't be anxious about anything. The Bible isn't telling us to be carefree or don't care about anything. In fact, it recognizes and acknowledges that we do have this anxiety and this fear. But in all those things, everything from our anxiety to our joy, to confusion to confirmation, to doubt and trust, everything should be lifted up in prayer with thanksgiving and being made known to God. See, I think so many of us, especially these past few weeks, we're so caught up in watching the news and reading every article, and suddenly everybody's an expert on how coronavirus is and how disease. I don't think everyone's like a doctor, right? Like everybody happens to know how viruses work and how to best practice safety and how to prevent the spread. And like suddenly everyone is paying attention to what the government, the WHO, the CDC or whatever, you know. And it's affecting their mind, it's affecting their mental state. But it's driven by fear. It's devouring a lot of us. Like, I used to joke because my dad, he would, like, listen to some YouTube or podcast about some, I don't know, I assume it's politics, it's everything's in Chinese, and there's just always one person talking. I just assume it's politics, right? And, like, and then he would just like put on headphones and just like listen in. He's like, oh, he's like zoning out. My mom and we would just laugh at him and be like, he's being brainwashed, right? Like, and you know, like, and so we, but I mean, and then, but my mom is concerned. It's like, I'm a little bit worried. This dad is just listening to this all the time. And I'm like, yeah, that's bad. Okay, I got to head to church now. But like, the concern for Chinese New Year event was that if we continue with this event, the attitude wouldn't be there because everybody will be talking about it. And so they don't want to affect the event and atmosphere. They don't want to offend people because, you know, if you wear a mask, there's some like other reasoning behind it. And yeah, people will talk about it. It's not hard to talk about it. It's always on the news. I get it. But is that the only thing you're going to talk about? Is that the only thing that would take up all of your mind? And Peter tells us to be sober-minded, to be watchful. You see, I don't think a lot of us have really thought clearly. We really need to think clearly. We really need to think about whether we're letting the world tell us how to think, or whether we're meditating on God's word and we can see his will for his people, and to see that the world is set apart from him. That we can't consume our thoughts or let those things consume our thoughts and pull us and distract us away from the presence and knowledge of God. You know, think about this. The amount of time, if you're one of those people who spend so much time watching the news, I want to ask you something really obvious. Did at any point you stop to think, maybe I should catch up on my daily devotional? Maybe I should open up God's word and just kind of read something else for a little bit? Maybe I should like shut the TV off or close the article or whatever and just think about myself as a Christian and what God would want me to do? Truly, did you ever stop to pull out your phone and instead of scrolling post after post, did you ever just open up the Bible app and see what the verse of the day was? Because we're not thinking clearly. And James tells us to draw near to God and he will draw to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's exhausting. We can't think about everything the world is telling us to be worried about. And we can't think about how our identity in Christ is to respond and to act. It's a lot of things to just keep thinking, right? I mean, trust me, I'm one of the first people to tell you, I overthink a lot of things to the point where I just don't know what to think anymore. And I get trapped in my own anxiety because I have overthought it. Over and over, I would play out scenarios in my head for any little thing. Even the sermon, I don't even know how long I stayed up, just laying in bed thinking, maybe I should say this and not say this. Maybe I should change this. It's too late, I already sent the PowerPoint slide, right? Maybe I should rename my sermon. Maybe I should not talk about any of this at all. And then it's time to get up and be here to present you God's word. Because I want to encourage all of us to stop thinking about yourself, but think about God and think clearly on him. Romans tells us, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Yeah, you can keep thinking about coronavirus, but what good is that going to do you? What if you do get infected? What's the worst that can happen? To live is Christ and to die is gain, right? So if you know Jesus, if you've set your mind on the Spirit, on the living hope in Jesus Christ, that should give you peace and be able to live your life with freedom because of the salvation of God. And I think we're also consumed in our thoughts, not because of our own pride, but I really think Satan does take advantage of that. I think it is his agenda to use something like this widespread fear-mongering, witch hunt, coronavirus, to devour us and to pull us away from God. He's looking for victims. And we're just laying there like fresh meat for him. So 1 Peter tells us to resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. We need to resist fear. Honestly. We're so caught up in it, we can't do anything. We can't really be witnesses for Jesus if all we're doing is giving in to fear. You can't show the love of Christ if all you're doing is thinking about yourself because you're too afraid. That event for those high school students, you know what I'm most proud of? The few students that actually managed to show up. And I know every single one of them were really busy. Literally, one of them went to the library to do homework while everyone was making dumplings. One of them came from a math competition or some other, another one came from another competition straight to church. Just because there was a desire to say, yeah, maybe we should be more intentional and welcome these students from another school. I mean, it showed up. Eight or nine of them. And wonder, hey, where are the students are? And I just laughed and I said, I don't think they're coming. And we had a good time, I think. We burned more wood and ate s'mores. And maybe I'm giving them more credit. Maybe they just never thought to themselves, what if I get infected? But I think they resisted some fear. Maybe there's some insecurity about how do I talk to international students? How do I talk to people I don't even know, like new people? What do I say if their English is not their first language? I'm sure there's some fear. I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit worried too. I don't know how to reach out to international students that well. My Chinese can only take me so far before they just shake their heads and say, English is fine, right? So, but if we can resist that fear, knowing that Satan is trying to use it to devour us and to take us away from the presence and confidence and charge and will of God, then we can really be able to properly be witnesses for Christ then. And so submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And Ephesians tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, and against the cosmic powers over the spiritual present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And if you look into Ephesians more in depth, you will see what the armor of God is. I'll give you a hint. It's his word, honestly. To put down your pride, to pick up the Bible, to stop being consumed and thinking about all these worldly things, but to think about heavenly things on who God is. To realize that we need to resist our own fear, but to be bold in the name of Jesus. To fight that fear. And to trust in God. You know, Jesus. I think he's the only one who could truly know what fear is. You see, right before he was to be crucified, I don't think Jesus just stayed up all night and hung out with his disciples and goes, it's the last for me, you know, more water into wine. You know, he went to the garden to spend time with his Father, and he prayed and he cried and he shed sweat and blood. And he was so afraid. Afraid of the wrath of God that would be poured on him for the sins of the world. Afraid for that moment when he would be separated and he would feel God turning back on his own son. Afraid of death and pain. Man, he, of all people, he should have been the one to give in to that fear. And yet he resisted because not by his will, but by his Father's will. And may his will be done, amen. And Jesus was afraid, but he did it for us. And he died on the cross for us. And he defeated sin and death and rose again. So what do we really have to be afraid of if we really know who Jesus is? And if we really know who Jesus is, then we should be witnessing for him. So how do we do that? I think 1 Peter, honestly, he gives us really good application. If you turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4, I think this is a good command for us as the church. To verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. And we have seen that because of the love of Christ. And so we should show love as well. We really dropped the ball on how to show love to these international students. We really failed at showing love to Chinese people coming to a Chinese church. I look at my own parents and I think, what if they did go back to China? And some random passerby just coughed and got them sick. Their health is not the best. They're old. And this was the last chance I could be with family. That is a reality, I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit worried, I'm not going to lie. But to have a lasting impression to show how much lack of love to my parents and to people, to the students, to one another. God, have mercy on our souls. Peter continues in verse 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. I know we're busy. I know it's not easy to visit others. I know there's a lot of things every one of us can be doing. Trust me, I get it. And yeah, sure, I'm a single guy, right? I have so much time in the world. But my parents even sometimes wonder, hey, you go to a lot of meetings because there's a lot of people to meet and visit. There's a lot of people to see how they're doing and to check up on them and to let them know, hey, we have this unity in Christ and I want to encourage you in any way I can. Is that really so hard? And yeah, it can be tiring. I will grumble, sure. Driving around and trying to plan and having to choose between this person and this person, having to decide between this meeting or this appointment. It's not easy, I'm not going to lie. But Scripture demands us to show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And if we really love Christ, we would do it. We would do it with so much joy. We look forward to meeting with people and caring for them and praying for them. And as each of us has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, and whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So God has given us so many good things. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I can't do certain things. Lead music worship is one of them. Nobody wants to hear me sing, trust me. I feel honored and blessed that God's given me the capability and opportunity to be up here and to share his word with you. But so many of you guys have so many other areas to be able to serve. So many of you guys know the right thing to say, and I wish I could learn from that too. So many of you guys know how to show acts of service and not even say anything, but to show love to people by doing something that really makes them feel welcome. And that's awesome and that's amazing. And so many of us do so many things at church because we're striving to further the kingdom of God. And it is exhausting, but God gives us that strength and he supplies us with that. And that's why we keep going, honestly. And at any point, any one of us can give up and give into the fear. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe it's not the right thing to say. Maybe this is not the best thing. Maybe all of this is worthless. But I'm telling you, for the love of God, everything we do is worth it. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so I really want to challenge you guys. Is there someone in your mind that maybe you've not actively avoided, but maybe you've neglected? Maybe someone went through some trauma recently, and nobody has taken the time to talk to them and see how they're doing. Maybe someone is sick. Not from coronavirus, but just from the flu. Or maybe they have cancer. Have you visited them? Maybe someone's depressed. And yeah, it's hard to deal with depressed people, I guess. I assume. Because if you're not depressed, you can't really get what they're going through. But maybe you can just be there, right? And try your best knowing that God has charged you to show the love of Christ to them. Maybe when someone comes to our church, our first reaction shouldn't be, how can I care for myself? But how can I care for this person? So I pray and hope that we would just wake up. That we would stop being afraid, that we would humble ourselves, that we would show the love of Christ and be witnesses for him. So let's pray. And Lord God, as we realize our own lacking, our own helplessness, our own depravity, because we are too prideful, because we are so caught up in our own world. God, thank you for being a God of mercy and grace. You our God who is so amazing, who is above all things, who deserves all glory and honor and praise. So Lord, forgive us, because without you, we would just be caught up in our own sins and transgressions. Without your Son Jesus, we would be forever separated from your presence, Lord. So I pray for our church, Chinese Baptist Church of Coral Springs. You would charge us to be witnesses for your Son Jesus, to resist fear, but to be bold, and to go forth and to further your kingdom in your name. And God, thank you for your Son Christ. Even when he was afraid, he was obedient to his will. Even when he faced your wrath, he still died for our sins. And when he rose again, he still sent us the Spirit to counsel and to guide us so that we can declare the good news to the world. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your Son, Christ. And so we pray all these things in his name. Amen.
Amen.